What is anarchy?
Anarchy? What is that? What is anarchy? So what do you think of when you think of anarchism?
What I would think would be just complete and utter lack of control, of complete disorder. I guess you could look at the opposite of order, right? You look at what is most order in the world and you think of the opposite.
Havoc, H-A-V-O-C.
Well, thinking of free for all. Everybody's thinking about himself and nobody cares about anybody.
I don't know, it seems like something that's completely subjective to me, like something that's, I think, impossible to answer, that you can technically come up with a definition in a dictionary, but, I mean, what real practical use does it have? So I guess, I mean, it's whatever you make it to be.
Mashiach Zeitens.
I didn't understand.
It's a Hebrew word, it's a Hebrew word.
What does it mean?
Time of Messiah.
Anarchy's bullshit, because you can't have a civilization that's based on pure survival of the fittest. It regresses to the power of the individual. So if you are an anarchist, all you're doing is getting rid of the culturally imposed system, and you're leaving it to survival of the fittest.
Jaggi Singh is an activist living in Montreal who's involved with the Anti-Capitalist Convergence and Known as Illegal. Jaggi's an outspoken apologist for anarchism as a political philosophy, and he's worked to correct popular misconceptions through talks and workshops. We asked Jaggi his view on the commonly held impression that links anarchism with violence.
Well, there's one meaning of anarchism, which means chaos or violence. It's not the meaning that that is associated with the political theory or practice, but that meaning is there. So that leads to some confusion. Moreover, I think any time in history, recent history, where you've seen any sort of political theory or practice that challenges the state, that challenges prevailing economic relations, those ideologies tend to be dismissed as chaotic, as unworkable, as being associated with violence. There's absolutely nothing inherently violent about anarchism. It's a political theory and practice that positions itself in opposition to the state, to all forms of illegitimate authority and hierarchy, to various forms of exploitation, etc. So how do you explain it? Well, as I said, I think in essence, the main reason why anarchism is dismissed as violent or chaotic is by those in power who want to marginalize it as an ideology. That's the primary reason. Of course, while there's nothing inherently violent about anarchism, there's nothing inherently pacifistic either. There are anarchists that are pacifists, but you don't have to be a pacifist to be an anarchist. So it's not an inherently non-violent political philosophy or practice. But then again, neither is any other ideology. I think anarchism is positions itself profoundly against violence because it sees the root causes of violence and opposes it without any sort of qualms. So it sees the state as being the incarnation of coercive power, coercive force of being, you know, the main motivating force behind armies and police and prisons, which are profoundly violent institutions. So in that way, anarchism is profoundly opposed to violence. But in terms of its methods, there have been anarchists that have resorted to or have used what can be described as violent methods, and others that have used nonviolent methods. But again, there's nothing inherently violent about anarchism whatsoever.
Are there efforts that are being made to address these misconceptions?
I don't think necessarily there's efforts being made to address the specific misconception of anarchism as violence. I think there are general efforts to address all the misconceptions, not simply the one about violence, but also I think equally marginalizing misconceptions that see anarchism as being utopian, or see anarchism as being unworkable, or see anarchism as being a pipe dream, just a dream. So absolutely there are efforts, and those efforts come through organizing, showing that that anarchists can have a meaningful contribution to various social struggles, showing the richness of the ideas that flow out of anarchism. So the Anarchist Book Fair, for example, is an example of trying to show that to the general public. Various publication efforts, various teach-ins and conferences, and down day-to-day struggle and organizing, whether it's with workers, whether it's with immigrants and refugees, whether it's with the poor and homeless. On all those levels, anarchists are involved, and that's how all the misconceptions are dispelled. I don't think there's any specific effort made to dispel anarchism's association with violence. I think it's much larger than that, and there's no reason, I think, why we have to, as anarchists, pander to that particular misconception, because in the end, what we do is what determines how we're perceived by regular folks, and a lot of those misconceptions are put forward again by people in power, by the mainstream media, who have an agenda to marginalize those kind of ideas. I think also you know, part of the motivating motivation of anarchism is, you know, an honesty and transparency about ideas, and it's important not to shy away from the fact that there have been anarchists involved with what I guess technically are violent incidents, assassinations, for example, or murder attempts. Not recently, but historically speaking, for example, the person who was blamed for the assassination of President McKinley in the United States was somebody who was described as an anarchist. Whether he was or wasn't is unclear. He apparently had some mental problems, but you know, that helped perpetuate that the myth of anarchists, that anarchists is violent at the time. Alexander Berkman, who was a close friend and companion of Emma Goldman, you know, an anarchist in his own right, he spent practically two decades in prison because he attempted to assassinate a boss of a major company in the United States. So those incidents, of course, help these people in power to perpetuate their stereotypes of anarchists. But again, you look at any sort of political ideology, whether it's motivated by religion or motivated by political ideas, if you're liberal or conservative or Christian or Muslim, all those ideologies have had violent incidents. So has anarchism, but that doesn't mean that anarchism is inherently violent at all. But it's important to recognize that. And I guess the other major historical moment was the propaganda of the deed era in Europe, where senior political officials or monarchs, the Tsar of Russia, for example, were targeted by certain anarchists who believe in the propaganda of the deed and the necessity of confronting these people up front. Now, that's historical. And actually, in that era, targeting a monarch for assassination, I mean, it might seem radical or something today, but at the time, it's not something that would necessarily garner widespread disapproval from the masses of people. These monarchs were recognized as extraordinarily exploited people who, you know, the Tsar is responsible for serfdom and people are starving. So in many ways, it's important that we also contextualize that. But we remove the political context of when these acts of propaganda deed took place, and we apply them to today, and people think the modern day equivalent would be simply just to assassinate a you know, a major leader, and I think we have to, you know, be conscious of the political context.
Another conception that's pretty common is relates anarchism to disorder, to chaos. Would you like to comment a bit on that?
Anarchism is about organization. It's about communities getting organized, but getting organized in a significantly different way than the way we're accustomed to getting organized via the state, via hierarchical institutions and practices. So anarchism is not chaos. It's not disorder whatsoever. And again, there is a meaning that you can have with the word anarchism, but the political idea of anarchism has absolutely no connotation that with chaos or disorder. And actually, it's quite different. It's about organization based on federations of communes based on collective organizing, based on a whole other model that attempts to maximize the democratic potential of individuals and collectivities. For many, that is chaos. So we have to look at it that way as well. For many, I mean, we even see it when we look at our contemporary political context, where world leaders, for example, Bush and others, talk about how it will lead to chaos if Iraq was to rush into elections and things like that. So the idea of people exercising—I mean, I don't believe elections are necessarily an exercise of true democratic choice, but we do have this perception that if people had significant control over how their lives are run and how our communities are run, that would lead to chaos. Because the prevailing idea is that you have to have responsible people running institutions and not the people who are directly affected by them. So there's that. There might be that connotation as well. But again, I don't think it follows that just because anarchists are attempting to maximize the way in which individuals and collectives are able to have a say on how our society and how our world is run, that is necessarily a precursor to chaos. Far from it. I think we hide the prevailing chaos and disorder in the world today by other words. I mean, the planet is being destroyed. You have, for example, just in the United States, this so-called bastion of democracy. You have one of the highest rates, the second highest rate, I believe, of incarceration in the world, where it's considered acceptable that up to 2 million people who disproportionately are Black and Latino are spending the majority of their lives in a jail cell. You have war taken for granted, and you have power based on nuclear, you know, the mutually assured destruction of our entire planet, and somehow that's not chaos and that's not disorder. You have geopolitics that lead to situations like we have in Iraq and Afghanistan. You have every day all kinds of exploitation that is legitimized in the name of capitalist economics, and somehow that's not chaos. I think what we live in is true chaos, and what we need to do, what the challenge is of people who dissent from this prevailing prevailing political climate, is to portray how what we live in now is truly chaos, and what anarchists, for example, are putting forward is something that is far from chaos. It really is about, you know, organization based on principles of true social justice.
Could you expand a bit on the values that anarchism as a political philosophy is built upon?
Sure. Anarchism is defines itself in so far as it's opposed to certain things and so far as it's for certain things. It's very clear in its opposition to illegitimate authority and hierarchy, the state, to capitalism, to imperialism. So that helps define anarchism, but that's one part of the definition, the opposition to these forms of exploitation, whether they're structural forms of exploitation or specific forms of exploitation. Moreover, anarchism posits certain values, the value of mutual aid, the value of autogestion, self-management, that is, the people who work and participate in given institutions should be involved in running those institutions. Anarchism believes in the value of solidarity, that we construct a society and we construct communities based on values of solidarity vis-a-vis each other and not competition and not exploitation. Direct action. That is, that we don't mediate our involvement in society, that we take direct control. And that means, for example, that that workers control their factories, that students and their teachers together run schools. So those are some values: autogestion, mutual aid, solidarity, the values of equality, direct action. Those are some of the defining traits of anarchism, along with what it opposes, and these two interact with each other. We oppose capitalism and we oppose the state because they are great barriers to creating a society based on true equality and true solidarity between individuals and between communities. We oppose nationalism, that is nationalism of the ethnic kind, the kind that tries to distinguish one group of people from another, because that leads to exploitation. And we try to create more of an idea of common humanity, where we respect each other's cultural differences while we try to work together. So they interact with each other. So there's no reason why we should exclude one or the other. The positive values and negative values, they should be taken together as part of what anarchism is all about.
Okay, I'm speaking with Jaggi Singh, and Jaggi is involved in the organization of an anarchist book fair that's going to be taking place shortly in Montreal, and I thought I'd conclude the interview by giving you an opportunity to give it a bit of a plug.
Sure. This is the fifth year that we've done the Anarchist Book Fair in Montreal. It's the largest book fair in Canada and the second largest in North America, although many people in our collective are now arguing that we have the right to call it the largest. But in any case, San Francisco has quite a large one as well. And while it's called a book fair, which means the sharing of literature, pamphlets, zines, books, it's more than that. It's an opportunity for these ideas, the ideas of anarchism, to be shared with a wider public through films, through workshops, through art, through discussions, through sharing this space. It brings out in the past over 1,000 people, and there's a whole series of activities associated with it. So, again, this is our fifth year, so it's a milestone of sorts. Hopefully we'll be around for a 50th year as well, because one lesson that I like to draw is from the Spanish Civil War and from the Spanish Revolution, which is that anarchism was something very new to Spain just 100 years before the Spanish Revolution, where you saw a real flourishing of anarchist ideas in practice. So in many ways, we're making the baby steps right now for a future where these values and these ideas aren't simply something that are marginal like they are now in society, or not something that only a few of us talk about, but something that an entire society can reckon with and can make a difference. So I see the Anarchist Book Fair as a contribution to that long-term project of anarchism. And for people who want more information, they can just check out our website, anarchistbookfair.tactic.org, or they can come to any of the Festival of Anarchy events, or they can come to the book fair, which is on May 15th. And it will be at the SEDA, which is a community center in Little Burgundy. A lot of the info is available on the website. We're the war youth, and there's a shopping bar.